This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, and thank you, as always, for joining me this Tuesday for another 60 minutes of old-time radio, variety of old-time radio, beginning with A Man Called X. We'll hear enough intrigue to fill a book. An episode that first aired May 18th, 1951. Then it's a quick, incredible, but true, and music by Moonlight. We'll finish off with The Key, an episode from 1956, and Night Prowler.
Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all of the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. No matter what you now take for headache relief, we urge you to try Anacin for the incredibly fast relief these tablets bring the next time you're suffering from a headache. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician, and in this way discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin for this wonderfully fast relief. Anacin. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin at any drug counter in handy boxes of 12 and 30. Economical family-size bottles of 50 and 100. Port-au-Prince, Haiti, like many cities of the world, is a mixture in sharp contrast of the old and the new. An up-to-date airport serves its commerce, and modern business buildings line its streets. But deep in the jungle, and even in the plantations outside the city, the drums of voodoo still sound their pagan rhythms in the night. And again, the well-dressed man who steps from a limousine at the entrance of the government building is a product of the new. But the thing that awaits him is as old as terror itself.
Call for me here at 3, Rinaldo.
Good morning, Your Excellency.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Weimar. Lovely day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. A perfect day. Tell me, sir, have you... Look out, Your Excellency.
Huh? Zombie? No, wait. No.
Stand back. Let me through here. Excellent. Let me through.
You... Your Excellency, why, you filthy...
Your shooting was not very well timed, Captain Andres.
Eh? What do you mean, Dr. Weimar?
I mean, perhaps it should have been 10 seconds sooner, or else not at all.
Five assassinations in 3 weeks, and every one of the victims a government official. I just phoned the Haitian consul a few minutes ago, Chief. Says the whole island's in a turmoil down there.
Well, what gets me, Ken, is this business about zombies. The Walking Dead. Why, it's right out of a dime novel. It's ridiculous.
All right, Chief. You don't believe in zombies, and I don't. But a lot of the natives in Haiti do, and that's the point.
Oh, I know there's still plenty of superstition left in the world, but this whole thing just doesn't make sense.
I've seen it done before in Ceylon, the Sudan, India. It's a matter of hypnotism and drugs. It creates a perfect assassin with no thought for his own safety and only one idea in mind, to kill.
But why? Assuming somebody is doing this in Haiti, why?
Well, all the victims have been government officials. It looks like an attack on the government itself.
Yeah. And the little hot spots have a habit of turning into big ones.
Sure.
Serbia, Spain. All right, Ken, go to it.
Somebody stands to profit by this. The problem is to find out who. And the answer? Well, I guess I better look for it in Haiti. So long, Chief.
sir. Are you Mr. Ken Thurston?
Why, yes, that's right.
Captain Andreas at your service, sir.
Oh, how do you do?
I've been assigned to escort you to General Brock.
General Brock?
The general commands the Department of Police and Military Affairs.
Oh, yes. Tell me, have there been any new developments?
No, sir. Not since His Excellency the Finance Minister was killed in front of the government building 2 days ago.
As I understand it, there hasn't been one of these zombies captured alive.
That is correct. They're like mad dogs. One cannot take chances.
Oh, it might be worth taking a chance to be able to question one of them.
Well, so far there's been really no opportunity to capture one of them.
I see.
These affairs happen so fast that...
What is it, Captain?
This man coming towards us, he's a special investigator hired by the consul in New York. A terrible nuisance, really.
Permit me to introduce myself, sir. I am Jose Cacahuate. My car.
South American agent for North American van lines. Hmm.
From Tucumcari to Tallahassee, Chattanooga to Cucamonga, we haul anything, anywhere,
All right, Pagan, take off that phony beard and come up for air.
I can't take it off. I'm in the Secret Service.
Well, that's one branch of government you should know all about. You've been running from for several years.
Mr. Thurston, that's my bread and butter you're stepping on.
What are you doing down here, anyway?
Well, I'm investigating this zombie business. Whatever that is.
Oh, sure.
Well, now,
Captain
my
Andres, theory... do you happen to have any ideas as to what may be behind this mess?
Well, nothing definite, Mr. Thurston. There is a general feeling that the plantation owners may be responsible in some way.
The plantation owners? Why?
Well, they've had very little voice in the government in recent years. Control has been in the hands of city politicians, so naturally...
And when did you become a political commentator, my pet?
Marla, but... Marlo, this is Ken Thurston, Miss Broussard.
How do you do?
And Mr. Zell Schmidt, you know, of course.
Sure. Hiya, babe.
Oh, you horrid little man. Andres, I'm terribly sorry to break in on you this way, but I did want to remind you about dinner this evening.
Well, I'm not sure, Marlo. General Brock has assigned me as liaison to Mr. Thurston.
Well, then by all means, bring Mr. Thurston, too. You will come, won't you?
Well,
Oh, please. If you like Creole cooking, you'll love Haitian food.
All right. You found my weak spot.
Good. Andres will bring you out, Mr. Thurston, and I'll look forward to showing you around my plantation.
I don't mind confessing that it's a relief to have you here, Mr. Thurston. I'm a man of action myself, and a mystery leaves me floundering.
Well, this is all a mystery to me so far, General Brock. Possibly these case records may help a little.
Well, I hope so, but they don't make sense to me. 5 men in a row, struck down on the streets without any rhyme or reason to it.
Oh, I think there's a rhyme and a reason. Matter of finding them.
Well, I hope that happens soon, sir. One more murder will mean martial law, and then the whole business will be dumped right on my shoulders.
Yes, I see what you mean. General Brock, have you considered the possibility that one of your own men may be involved in this?
Oh, that's ridiculous, sir. The police and army are absolutely trustworthy.
Well, I know that's the usual theory, but...
I can vouch for them to a man, sir.
Something else, General. This idea of the plantation owners being responsible. Is that a possibility?
Well, a possibility in theory, I suppose, but not in fact. Why, some of them are my best friends. Fine people, all of them.
I see. Well... I'll look over these records and talk with you later.
Well, I dare say we'll find time tonight at dinner.
You're coming to Miss Broussard's, too?
Yes, yes. Fine girl, Marla. Wonderful person. Wonderful. Well, good luck, Mr. Thurston. Call on me if you need any help, sir.
Thanks, General. I will.
Hey, over here, Mr. Thurston.
Well, Secret Agent Zell Schmidt. Still wearing the beard, I see.
I need the money, Mr. X. How did I know what I was getting into? When I heard they were having trouble with zombies, I thought somebody was watering the liquor.
Well, what do you think now?
I think I'm scared.
Good reason to be, too. The chance of being turned into a zombie at any moment.
Oh, don't say that.
A glassy-eyed, mindless idiot with no intellect or... come to think of it, I guess they're safe at that.
Mr. Thurston,
Pagan, what's the tie-up between Malabusa and Captain Andreas?
Well, who knows, except he follows her around like a moonstruck calf. A lucky dog. She wraps him around her little finger. Why, Mr. Thurston, she's practically got him hypnotized.
And this is my only guest whom you haven't met. Mr. Thurston, Dr. Weimar.
Oh, Doctor. I knew a Dr. Weimar in Vienna before the war. Carl, I think his name was.
My brother, Mr. Thurston. He is no longer living.
Oh, I'm sorry. Psychiatrist, wasn't he?
Yes, with a specialty in hypnotherapy.
Oh, your field too, Dr. Weimar?
It was, originally. My practice here, however, is primarily medical.
I see.
Listen, everyone. It's such a lovely night that I decided we'd have dinner on the veranda.
Oh, very good.
We'll go out through the side doors there. General Brock.
Yes, my dear.
Would you and Andres like to leave your firearms in here?
Oh?
I'm not really so dangerous that you have to be armed.
On the contrary, my dear. You're so completely dangerous that mere firearms wouldn't do us the least bit of good.
How pretty, General Brock. This way, Mr. Thurston.
Thanks. Ah, you're right. It is lovely out here.
I wouldn't trade it for all the rest of... Well, what's the matter, Mr. Thurston?
Nothing. I was just listening to the drums.
Oh, yes. Voodoo drums or signal drums. Opinions vary.
Missy Mala, you excuse, eh?
Oh, yes, Granaloo.
Is approval with you if me go now?
Of course, Granaloo. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, Missy Mala.
She's been with me for years. Devoted. A wonderful woman.
But where's she going?
Oh, she has a little house of her own in the bush. Holds voodoo ceremonies in it, I'm quite certain. A lot of natives still believe in it, you know.
As they do in zombieism.
Yes. So shall we sit down? You on my right, Mr. Thurston.
Thank you.
Andres there.
Well, thank you.
And you on the other side, General Brock.
Thank you, my dear.
Dr. Weimar, over here.
Wait. Look.
Why, yes.
But what the devil?
His eyes, glassy, fixed.
It's a zombie.
Now, get back. If I can hold his attention, swing this chair.
Inside, Captain Andres, get our guns.
Just one swing now and...
Good timing, Mr. Thurston. He's knocked unconscious.
Stand back, everybody. Where is he? Where did he go?
No, Captain, put down that gun. No, don't.
Oh, Andres, why?
There was no need of that, Captain. The man was unconscious.
It wasn't a man. It was a zombie. You can't take chances. You... Well?
You were a little hasty, though, weren't you?
You have to kill zombies. It's the only way to...
It's all right, Andres. You come in the house with me now.
Oh.
You did the right thing, my dear.
You were right, of course, Mr. Thurston. The boy was hasty, but... Confound it, you don't understand the pressure all of us are under out here.
Maybe not, General Brock. But I don't understand why you've never captured one alive.
Well, yes, I know, but... Oh, confound it, I'd better go see what's eating the boy.
Mr. Thurston, am I correct in assuming that you noticed the same thing I did?
I saw something, Dr. Weimar. Fantastic, though.
Is it? Good night, Mr. Thurston.
Good night, Doctor. All right, Pago. You can come out from under that table now.
Well, I'm only hired to investigate these zombies, Mr. Thurston, not to fight with them. Well, so that's what they look like, eh?
Some of them. The other one here tonight looked different, though.
Other one?
Sure. Captain Andres.
Huh?
Didn't you notice him when he ran out here and shot this man? He had the eyes of a zombie.
We will continue with The Man Called X in just a moment. And now to continue with The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. Five assassinations in 3 weeks, and the island of Haiti is swept by a wave of terror. One word is whispered over and over on the plantations and through the dark hills. Zombies, the walking dead. Ken himself was an eyewitness to killing number six. And now he and Pagan make their way cautiously through the midnight bush, heading for the hut of a voodoo oracle, old Granaloo.
Not so fast, Mr. Thurston. Are you trying to lose me out here in this... I mean, how bad can it get?
You mean how scared can you get? Come on, Pagan. I want to take care of this in a hurry and get back to that house.
What do you want with this Granaloo woman anyhow?
Just checking. That zombie came out of the bush about a minute after she went into it. And she may be a voodoo leader. She's devoted to...
Wait a second.
Huh?
Here she is in front of the hut.
Jeepers, creepers. Let's get out of here, Mr. Thurston.
Please come on up here where I can see you.
Oh, it's too late.
Come on, Pedro.
I've been waiting for you. Mr. X.
Why, Granulou?
My people out there in the hills, they ask what will be done to save them from this terror. And I have not known what to tell them.
And what will you tell them now?
That you have come.
You knew I would come. And you know who I am. How, Granulou?
There is still much knowledge in the jungle that has never yet been found. Have you found the answer, Mr. X?
Yes, I found it. But I don't know yet how to deal with it.
You will. My people will be very happy when I tell them.
I thought there on the veranda that your pidgin English was all put on.
One must play many roles in this life, Mr. X.
Yes, I know.
I will speak to my people now.
Good night, Benelou. Come, Pagan. Wait for me in the car, Pagan. I'm going to stop in at the house.
Mr. Thurston, wait. No, the gun isn't necessary, Mr. Thurston. I wasn't waiting here to threaten you. The thing is, I'm scared.
Yes, I can understand how you would be, Captain Andreas.
You see, tonight is the second time something like that has happened.
You mean shooting first and thinking later?
It's not like me, Mr. Thurston. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all.
You want to understand it, Captain?
Yes. No matter what the answer is, no matter what I've got to find out.
All right, listen. Come with me now and don't say anything to anyone. Stay at my hotel tonight. And in the morning we'll go see Dr. Weimar together.
I don't trust Weimar.
You don't have to trust him. Trust me.
He's rather far under the drug now, Mr. Thurston. And the trance, too, is about as deep as I care to take him just now.
Well, it's entirely up to your judgment, Dr. Weimar. It's a little out of my field here.
Then I think we might try for some of the phrases, some of the commands that were given him when he was hypnotized previously. Do you agree, Mr. Thurston?
Yeah, go ahead, Doctor.
Captain Andres, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
And do you understand who's here with you and what's happening?
Yes, sir. You're Dr. Weimar. Mr. Thurston is here, and you've hypnotized me. A part of me is asleep. A part of me is awake and listening to you. You called it...
Dissociation.
Yes, sir.
Now, the awake part of you, Captain Andres, is the part I'm talking to. It's the part that remembers. Remembers everything, including the last time you were hypnotized.
Yes, sir. I remember.
What were you told at that time, Captain?
I was told to forget all about it.
But you did not forget. You remember, don't you?
I remember.
And what were you told about zombies?
I was told to kill zombies, take no chances.
How were you told? What were the words? You can hear the command now. What is it, Captain? What is it?
Kill all zombies after they have killed. Kill all captured zombies. Forget you were told this.
It's almost as though a woman were talking.
Can't always be sure, Mr. Thurston.
I can't remember anything.
He's been given a lot of commands to forget. It's going to take quite a lot of work to get it out of him.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to leave him in your hands, Dr. Weimar. I've got an appointment with General Brock.
Those case records, then, Mr. Thurston, no use to you at all, so it seems, huh?
Well, not much anyway, General Brock.
No.
Oh, I've got a few hazy ideas, but nothing really worth mentioning.
Well, that's too bad, too bad. I've managed to stall off martial law until tomorrow morning. That's about as far as I'll be able to push it, however.
Well, that still gives me some time.
Time. That's the enemy I've fought all my life. Action's the thing.
Which accounts, I imagine, for all these trophies on the walls.
Eh? Oh, the animal head. Collected in Central Africa over a good many years. Nothing any fool couldn't do. But, here is a trophy for you, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, yes. What is it? Polished quartz?
No, it's rutile. Beautiful job of cutting, isn't it? I attached it to this watch chain so I could swing it, like a pendulum. Watch it glitter. Glitter this way. Back and forth. Back and forth. Notice the fire in it, Mr. Thurston? The play of lights deep inside the stone?
Yes, it's fascinating.
I could watch it for hours. Glittering. Scintillating.
shifting, changing, patterns of light as it swings back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah. Yes, I see.
Makes me drowsy sometimes, sleepy. My eyes get heavy, like yours are now.
Yes.
Heavier and heavier, sleepier and sleepier. So sleepy you can't open them. Sleep. Sleep. And now you're sound asleep.
Yes. Sound asleep.
You can't open your eyes, Mr. Thurston. You're sound asleep.
I'm sound asleep. Asleep.
Good. Mr. Thurston, you're a fool.
Yes. I'm a fool.
Hypnotism is such a simple art. You ought to learn more about it. Now, I'm going to give you some orders, Thurston, commands. And then I'm going to wake you up. You won't remember being hypnotized. You'll forget all about this. But when the time comes, you'll carry out the commands. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand.
All right. Now, listen. I'm having a little dinner party at my residence this evening. The same group that was out at Mallard's last night. And during this dinner, at my signal, you're going to draw your gun and kill Dr. Weimar. Do you understand?
At your signal, I'm to kill Dr. Weimar.
And here is the signal. I'll say, doesn't it seem a little hot in here?
The signal. You say, doesn't it seem a little hot in here?
Good. And now I'm going to wake you up, Thurston. At the count of three, you'll be wide awake, and you won't remember any of this. Understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. One, two, three. Natives of that particular area polish the stones by some method all their own. I never could discover how they did it.
That's very interesting, General. Well, I guess I better get back to work.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Thurston, I'm having a little dinner party here at my place this evening. I'd like to have you join us.
Fine, what time?
Oh, let's make it 8 o'clock.
All right, General. I'll see you at 8.
I swore before I came here tonight that I'd keep the dinner conversation off that subject. And here we go again, talking about what?
Zombies, naturally. Would somebody please pass the salt?
Well, it's a little hard to ignore a subject that's caused six deaths in a row.
What have you found out, Mr. Thurston? Any results yet?
Well, it depends on what you mean by results, Captain Andres. None at least that have led to what General Brock would call action.
Well, unfortunately, I'm being forced into action. Martial law goes into effect at 8 o'clock tomorrow, orders of the cabinet.
It's the old familiar pattern, and a bad one. Armed guards everywhere, a curfew, law courts closed, bulletins, orders, and force.
Yes, it's an ugly picture, Dr. Weimar, for most people.
For most people? I'd say for everybody concerned.
Not necessarily, Marla. I came down here with one idea in mind. To look for the person most likely to profit from this zombie terror. Well, I found that person pretty quickly. It wasn't really much of a problem.
I say, doesn't it seem a little hot in here?
The problem was deciding how to deal with the situation.
Mr. Thurston, doesn't it seem a little hot in here?
Not to me, General Brock.
But what I said was, doesn't...
I know what you said. I also know a few things about hypnotism. Enough at least not to fix my attention on a shiny pendulum. All right, Captain Andres.
General Brock? I have here a presidential warrant authorizing your arrest.
But Captain Andres, I did. Look! Thurston is a zombie!
Your gun, please.
Look, don't you understand? Thurston is a zombie!
No use, General Brock. Dr. Weimar worked on the captain for 5 hours today. Your number one mop-up zombie is unzombified.
Well,
this way, General. March. All right. This way.
Out. Dictatorship by way of martial law. Was that his idea, Mr. Thurston?
Of course, Marla. It's an easier way than revolution.
Oh. Well, one thing at least. There won't be any more of those zombies now.
No, maybe not the kind he was creating. But there are other kinds. They're fighting and killing and dying all over the world. Millions of them. Mindless and blind, they follow just one command. Kill, destroy, kill. And yet who's really to blame? The zombies themselves or the men who create them?
Our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall, will return in just a moment. Now, here is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. The folks you heard in tonight's cast were Barbara Fuller, D.J. Thompson, Will Wright, Lou Merrill, Stan Waxman, and Bill Conrad. Next week, a man and a girl and a plot that send Ken halfway around the world on one of the most exasperating cases he ever tackled. And speaking of exasperation, of course, Leon Belasco will be there as Pagon Zellschmidt. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
Magnificent cathedral or merely a frame shack, a house of prayer is invariably vested with an air of otherworldliness. Perhaps it is because of this fact that one is never too surprised to learn of strange and incredible events which occur within the confines of the church. And as evidence that such events do occur, witness the curious case of the organist at Avonbury.
It was a simple house of worship, this Avonbury Church in Herefordshire, England. And its vicar was a simple man. For 20 years he attended the spiritual needs of the community. And it is greatly to be doubted whether anything really remarkable had ever happened to him. Not at least until a certain autumn night in the year 1919, when the vicar was making his way home after a condolence call on a bereaved widow. He could see the white church spire gleaming in the moonlight.
Hello. That's strange. Now who could be playing the organ at this hour?
The church had been locked at 7 o'clock that evening, and now it was almost 12, and yet someone was inside playing the organ.
It must be Emily Willingham.
The vicar approached the church and climbed the wooden steps and tried the door. It was still locked. As he stood there, groping in his pocket for the key, the music stopped.
Miss Willingham? Emily Willingham, are you there?
The vicar switched on the light and glanced slowly around. But the church was empty, and the front door was the only door to the church. It was not until evening of the following day that the vicar found time to visit Miss Willingham, and he wanted to know how she had managed to leave the church.
Well, I was never in it. Not last night.
But just at midnight, Miss Willingham, I distinctly heard something.
Whoever you may have heard, my dear vicar, it was not I. I was in my bed at 12 o'clock last night. Have you spoken to Mr. Rumley?
Rumley, the sexton?
He has a key to the church, has he not? If anyone would know a way of leaving the church unnoticed, I'm sure it would be he. And while he has never confessed to having musical talent, I'm certain he would be happy to improve his position by taking my duties as organist away from me.
I shall speak to him at once.
And so, my dear vicar, shall I.
Dusk had fallen when the vicar and Emily Willingham reached the little cottage just behind the church.
I'm glad you've come, vicar. I've been wanting to talk to you all day. I'm registering a complaint against her.
Against me?
Aye. I've got no objection to you playing the organ any time you like. Only not at midnight.
Why,
your father? I heard her, Vicar. I heard her in the middle of the night, it was. The organ bleating out like a Sunday morning.
He's simply trying to avert suspicion from himself, Vicar. You know perfectly well, Mr. Rumley, that it was you who played in the church last night.
Me? I never touched the blasted instrument in my life.
Obviously, it was one of the two of you. We three are the only ones who could have got into the church. No one else has a key. And I'm quite certain that
Listen,
draw me. There it is again.
But isn't the church locked now?
Oi, Vicar. I locked it myself half hour ago. And there wasn't a living soul in there when I did.
The three of them hastened to the church. But before they reached it, the music stopped. And they found no one. Who he was, and how he gained entrance into the church, and how he left without being observed. All of these remain a mystery. A mystery incredible but true.
A key. There's a key to every situation. Behind every unopened door, there is a mystery. And the opening of this door introduces us to another in the series, the key.
Don't worry, Sam. I'll be all right.
Look, Meaner, it's a long way from town.
Oh, only 8 miles?
Try running it when you're in a hurry.
I'll be all right.
Oh, sure, you'll be all right, but... Just for laughs, why don't you come into town? You can put up at a hotel and I won't have to worry all night.
Sam, I've lived in this house for 20 years.
True.
And nothing more interesting than a broken water pipe has ever happened.
But 8 miles from town in the dark, might as well be 50 miles.
Oh, no.
And you had a husband and a couple of kids to fill the joint. I don't like it.
You're sweet.
Stubborn, too.
No.
So, you don't care if I worry my head off all night?
It'll do you good. Oh, please, Sam, I'll be all right, honestly. And I've got the phone.
Oh, yes, you've got the phone. I suppose some guy who breaks in is going to be nice and sporty. He'll give you time to phone the police and then wait till they turn up. I don't think.
Nothing has ever happened in 20 years.
And is that a guarantee that nothing will happen tonight?
You're a good friend, Sam.
I'd like to keep being a good friend. I don't want to send flowers to you, too.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Good. I'll have a drink while you pack a bag.
No, Sam. I'm not leaving. I don't see why I should be driven out of the house I helped to build and live in for 20 years just because there's been some talk of a night prowler.
It's not just talk, Meena. This guy's poison.
I lock all the doors and bar all the windows and sleep with a shotgun by the bed. And I'll tell you what. If the people don't buy the place tomorrow, I'll get Mrs. Anders to stay with me. And if they do decide to take it, I'll move into town till we complete the deal.
But that's crazy. If you're willing to move tomorrow night, why not tonight?
I want to spend one last night in my own house on my own. Well, it's sentimental, I suppose. But that's what I want to do.
change your mind?
No.
Well, look, if you want me for anything, just ring.
Thanks, Sam.
That's what friends are for.
I guess so.
I've always thought that we were more than friends, Mina. When we were at school together, there was always you and me and Pete and... Well, Pete won out.
Maybe you were the lucky one.
Oh, no.
Things happen, Sam. That's a silly thing to say, I know, but...
I know what you mean. Things do happen.
Good night, Sam.
And don't forget, I'm only as far away as the phone.
It's good to have friends.
See you first thing. Lock everything, won't you?
Bolt it and padlock.
Bye.
Poor Sam. First time I ever thought about him as the worrying kind. Well, House, this is probably the last time we'll be together. With Pete gone, I don't suppose there's much reason for staring at memories. I hope the people who buy you look after you. Lock all the doors and lock all the windows. Keep the creatures of the night from entering our domain. Now make sure the furnace is working and the cat's outside. See that the fire can't burn us in our beds. Close and lock another window. Dear Sam. All right, Sam, I'm not dead or dying. I'm safe as a house. Yes, Sam.
Mrs. Gray?
Yes.
Mrs. Gray, who owns the house for sale?
Who's that speaking?
Cleaver Bowman.
Oh, Mr. Bowman, you gave me a start.
I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to.
Oh, that's all right.
It's a late hour to phone, I know.
Just put it down to my own thoughts, not the phone call.
Are you alone, Mrs. Gray?
Why, yes. Why do you ask?
No reason.
What can I do for you, Mr. Bowman? Is it about our appointment tomorrow?
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing's wrong, I hope.
Nothing at all. At least not with the house or my intention to buy.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
I've had an urgent message from my agent in the city, Mrs. Gray. It means I'll have to leave here before morning.
Oh, dear, I am sorry.
It means I won't be able to keep my appointment with you.
Oh.
I know how much the sale of the house means to you, Mrs. Gray.
Do you?
Well, at least I'm aware that your financial troubles are... Anyway, I know what a disappointment this must be.
Well, it is, rather. But I dare say I'll weather it through.
I'm sorry that I can't possibly think of buying the house without further inspection, Mrs. Gray.
Oh, I realize that.
I do really want to buy a place in this area. Your house seems to fit the bill admirably.
Couldn't we put things off for a day or two?
I'm afraid it'd be for a month or two once I get to the city.
Oh. Well, that seems to be that, doesn't it? Thanks very much for calling me.
Mrs. Gray?
Yes?
There's a rather simple way out of all this.
I can't think of any possible way.
I could see the place now.
Now? But it's past midnight.
I realize that, of course, and it's up to you, but if you want to sell that house of yours, Mrs. Gray...
Oh, of course I do.
I have to see it now, or I'm afraid not at all. At least for several months.
I don't know.
You, could find another prospect, I suppose, but I know that houses of that size are very hard to shift, especially this far from the city.
It's terribly late.
It's up to you, Mrs. Gray.
I don't really know.
You're not frightened, are you, Mrs. Gray?
Oh, no, of course not. It's merely the inconvenience of the time.
To gain one's end, one has to put up with quite a few inconveniences in this life.
Will you be bringing Mrs. Bowman?
There is no Mrs. Bowman. My wife died some 10 years ago.
You'll be on your own?
That's right.
Oh. Very well, Mr. Bowman. I'll expect you in half an hour.
In half an hour? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's really no trouble at all.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Bowman. And now, Minna Gray, will you please explain to yourself why you're trembling like a leaf? A man rings with a perfectly straightforward request, which will make you money and take the house off your hands, and you very nearly tell him to go away. And don't behave like a stupid child. Mr. Bowman?
Mrs. Gray.
Oh, come in, will you?
Thank you.
Well, now, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start by taking off my overcoat. It's rather warm in here.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry. I'm a bad hostess. Would you like some coffee or something? I have some made.
Thank you.
Well, if you'll come through here. Yeah,
this is a beautiful house, Mrs. Gray. Must be very difficult to leave it.
It is. My husband and I built it ourselves. Oh, we didn't actually put up the bricks, but every penny we ever earned went into this place. Houses are like people. Sometimes they return affection. This house has had so much love that... I'm sorry.
Go on.
Sit down and I'll pour. Black?
Please.
You'll have to forgive me for the phone conversation, being on my own.
I understand.
And there's been a night prowler at work around here for the past couple of months. Makes you a little wary.
Of course.
The house has 5 bedrooms, 2 floors, an attic.
Let's finish the coffee first, then business.
What business are you in, Mr. Bowman?
I sell things.
Oh, have you been in this district long?
A couple of months.
The same time as... I hate to appear. I'm really very tired. Would you mind if we had a look over the place now?
Not at all. You go ahead and show me. I'll be right behind.
And here's the study. It's quite large, and there's a desk and bookcases.
How far away is your nearest neighbor?
Nearest neighbor? About 4 miles, I suppose.
Not even shouting distance.
No.
Still, if you had any trouble, you could use the phone.
Phones can be cut.
Yes, they can.
And the windows are connected by a burglar alarm system.
Oh, how very clever.
Well, I think you've seen all the house.
What about the cellar?
The cellar?
The house does have a cellar, doesn't it?
Why, yes, of course. The furnace and...
I'd like to see it.
But there's nothing there to...
I'd like to see it.
Oh, but I...
Please.
Yes, of course. It has 2 entrances. One from the kitchen and one from the outside. That's for coal and so forth. But there's really nothing down there that could possibly interest you. I'm sure. Still, if you do insist...
I do.
Before we go down, would you mind if I made a phone call? I know it's late, but I've got to tell someone something. I won't be a moment.
What's wrong with the kitchen extension?
Yes, of course.
Anything wrong, Mrs. Gray?
The phone's dead. Hello? Hello?
Must be a breakdown on the line. Was it terribly important?
Yes, it was, rather.
I'm afraid it'll have to wait.
Yes, I suppose so.
Could we continue the search? The cellar, Mrs. Gray?
Yes, of course.
After you.
I don't think the light works, but there's a torch on the shelf. Thank you.
These steps are a little steep, aren't they?
A little.
Nice, snug little cellar. No dampness?
None at all.
Cellars fascinate me, you know. Have done since I was a child. Used to spend all the time in our cellar, looking through all the old dusty treasures. Yeah, I used to dream myself into the most fabulous situation.
The furnace is very good, nearly new, and there's plenty of storage space.
When did your husband die, Mrs. Gray?
About 12 months ago.
I'm sorry. It's a shame that a woman of your beauty must spend her time alone.
I don't mind solitude.
Being alone can sometimes be very dangerous.
Do you mind if we go upstairs?
What's the matter?
Well, nothing.
You're trembling.
It's cold down here.
Oh, it's warm down here.
I want to go upstairs, Mr. Bowman.
Surely you're not frightened of me.
Please let me pass.
I can assure you there's nothing.
Let me pass.
Mrs. Gray, I don't
Take your hands off me. Let me go. Let me go.
Mina! Mina! Where are you?
More visitors, Mrs. Gray.
Mina!
Better put the poor chap out of his misery.
It's all right, Sam. Coming.
Someone obviously concerned for your safety.
Obviously.
With no good reason, either.
In the kitchen, Sam.
Sorry to yell like that, but I was...
You were what?
Sam, this is Mr. Bowman.
Hi.
He's the buyer I was telling you about.
What's he doing?
I've been looking over the house. It's quite charming.
Couldn't you have picked a better time?
The time was picked for me. Circumstances, you know.
No, I don't know.
Please, Sam, let's go into the lounge and have a drink.
Yeah, good idea. What's that room through there?
Oh, it's a tiny apartment, actually. We built it for our son when he first married. Then they managed to get a house.
Let's have a look. Will you excuse me?
Yes, of course.
When I buy something, I like to know all about it.
Mina, are you crazy?
I don't think so.
Letting that guy in here... What's the matter with you?
Quiet, Sam. He might hear you.
I should worry. For all I know, he might be the prowler they've been having trouble with. You should have your head read, Mina. You really should.
Yes, Sam.
I'll stay here to see that he shoves off properly.
All right, Sam.
Talk about heart failure. When I saw that car pulled in and the lights went on, I said to myself...
That's a neat little apartment, isn't it?
Mina, I stay here to...
Yes, Sam.
I said it's a charming little...
Oh, why, yes, it is.
Funny time to be looking things over.
Very funny. Rather an odd time for your visit, too.
Mrs. Gray and I are old friends.
Quite.
What do you mean by that?
Your drink, Sam.
Thanks.
Mr. Bowman.
Thank you. Well, here's to a successful negotiation. I'm sure we'll be able to arrange the sale without any trouble now, Mrs. Gray.
I hope everything turns out well for you, Mr. Bowman.
Now, as for the price, would you mind if we discuss this in private, Mr.?
I'll sit here.
I'd prefer to...
Mr. Bowman, Sam is an old friend of mine. I don't see any harm in...
Well, he may be an old friend of yours, Mrs. Gray, but I hardly know the man. And I don't want the sale and price of the house to be town property by tomorrow.
That does it.
Would you mind waiting in the study, please?
Yes, I would mind.
Sam.
Okay, if that's the way you want it.
Thank you.
Just arranging things in the middle of the night isn't the way I like to do business.
I hope I wasn't too rude.
It's your affair, Mr. Bowman.
Right, now, let's discuss price.
Will you stop worrying about me?
I didn't like him. What a thing to do. Come all the way out here in the early hours of the morning. How do you know he's the right man anyway?
He's going to buy the house.
Have you seen the color of his money?
He'll have a check sent from the city.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Go home, Sam.
I want you to come back with me. We'll arrange a room at the hotel and you'll stay there.
Sam, I'm just as foolish as you are. Now go home. Poor man must have wondered what was the matter with me. The way I behaved, you'd think he...
The way you behaved. It's the way he behaved that worries me. I don't like him. And another thing...
Good night, Sam.
I'm not going to let
I
you...
I can't stand here all night arguing. Please go home.
All right. But I'm telling you that I don't like
him. I know, Sam. You've told me before. Good night, Sam. Please, I'm very tired.
Lock the place up and don't open the door to anyone, you hear?
I hear.
Thank you.
Who is it? Oh. Sam and his warnings have given me the jitters. You're a fool, Minnegree. Go back to sleep. Who is it? There's someone out there. Why don't you speak? I'm coming out, and I've got a gun. I'll shoot it. No one. Dreaming. No. No, not dreaming. I should have gone with Sam. I know you're in the house, and I have a gun. If you leave quietly, I won't call the police. Can you hear me? I know you're somewhere in the house. Where are you? Well, there's only one way to find out, my girl. You go downstairs and you search the place. Go on. Walk downstairs. You've got a loaded gun. No one can possibly hurt you. You just point the gun, point it at me, you pull the trigger. Now what do you do? Who is it?
It's me, Sam. Sorry if I frightened you.
I thought it was... Well, I don't know what I thought.
I heard you yell out.
Why didn't you answer me?
Because I thought I saw someone moving around outside. I wanted to be sure. Sorry.
Oh, I nearly died of fright.
You have to point that gun at me.
Oh, dear. I could have shot you.
I'm glad you didn't.
Well, so am I. What are you doing here, Sam?
I'm worried. I thought that character might come back.
Well, I told you I'd be all right.
What's funny?
Oh, this gun. It isn't loaded.
You'd have been in a great pickle, wouldn't you?
I suppose so. I don't think I'll be able to go back to sleep now. This house hasn't seen so much drama in a long time.
It's a pity you've got to sell it, Mina. Why don't you cancel the sale?
No, Sam. I can't do that. It's sold and that's that.
Pity. It's a nice house. I was always jealous of you and Pete and the thing you got out of this place.
Jealous?
Yeah.
Sam, I know this is becoming a bore all round, but would you please not worry me? I was sound asleep, as happy as could be, and you have to frighten the life out of me. Oh, now, don't get that hangdog look about you. Go home and worry about yourself for change.
I'd rather worry about you. Mina, I didn't like the look of that Bowman guy. I don't know why, I just didn't like the look of him, that's all.
Now, go home.
Especially with the phone being off, you never know what could happen.
How did you know about the phone, Sam?
You told me.
No, I didn't.
You must have.
Not a word about it, Sam. Not one word.
What? Don't look at me like that.
Like what?
Like I don't know what.
Not you, Sam. Anyone else, but not you.
You must have told me about the phone. It was Bowman did it.
He was in the room when the phone was cut.
He could have done it before he arrived, couldn't he?
But the fact is, Sam, that I didn't tell you anything about it. Get out now, Sam. Go on.
Make me.
I've still got the gun and I'll use it.
What'll you use for bullets? All right, Mina, it was me. I cut the wire. I wanted to come out here and talk to you, that's all. I didn't want any disturbance. Wanted to try and talk you out of selling the place. I didn't want you to go away. I wanted to make sure you didn't go away. I'm in love with you, Mina. I always have been.
The house is sold, and I'm leaving as soon as possible. Tomorrow.
No, I waited 20 years for Pete to die.
Sam.
Because I knew you should have married me. I'm not letting 20 years go by the board. 20 years of being married to someone else. Evil, horrible years.
Get away from me, Sam. Get away.
Mina, I'm serious about this. You'll either marry me, you'll not see the daylight. You hear me, Mina?
No, Sam. Please, no. No.
The lady said no.
You, get away. Go on, get away.
Mr. Bowman.
There are several policemen waiting outside, Sam.
What are you talking about?
You worried me, Sam. When I got back to the village, I hunted up the local law.
Did you know?
And when the local law heard my story, they nodded wisely at each other and came along with me. They've been worried about you for quite a while, Sam.
No, Sam wouldn't.
Sam did. He's the night prowler. Sam isn't very well. Waiting outside, Sam.
It isn't true, Mina. It isn't...
Outside, come on.
It's not true. It's not true.
You might brew some coffee, Mrs. Gray. I think we'll need some.
A closing door finishes the story. Next week, another key will open another door to another story. Mystery. Romance. Or adventure. All start when a door is unlocked by...
the key.
Hope you enjoyed our show today. I'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode. In the meantime, RelicRadio.com's got more old-time radio, more old-time radio podcasts, and past episodes you can listen to, along with links to everything else we have going on. You can email me at RelicRadio@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Twitter.com/RelicRadio. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll talk to you again next week for a new episode of the Relic Radio Show.